sir.
Sounds good, man.
It's like buying a house.
We'd like to welcome everyone, and we'd like to call the meeting to order for February 6, 2018, Committee of the Whole meeting. First order of business, please, is roll call.
Councilperson Linville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Terlouwski.
Here.
Kolograph.
Present.
Spitznagle.
Here.
Thank you. Also, let the record reflect that our law director, Mr. William Mason, is present, and our fiscal officer and clerk of council, Katie Icon, is present. At this time, item C, we offer opportunity for any business before council, any concerns. This opportunity is for the Walton Hills residents to ask questions or express concerns about our community. Please understand that we also offer opportunity after every item on the agenda so you can ask questions and participate in the process of each one of the items on the agenda. If you please come forward, please give us your name and your address. Anyone interested? Seeing no one. Thank you. Next item is council comments. Mr. Linville, any comments tonight, sir?
No, sir, I don't, Kevin.
Ms. Brenner Miller?
Yes, I was going to talk about the Parker program.
Okay.
I'm going to give the new rates for the Parker program.
This is just a proposal because we need your permission to move forward. And the Parker program, we have to start advertising in March. Mm-hmm. So that's why we need your approval. Go ahead.
Right. And this is just the proposal. And as was mentioned prior, that we have to raise the rates this year. One resident child, it's going to be proposed $200. Two resident children, $350. Three resident children, $550. The grandparent rate is $225. The resident weekly is $125. Non-resident child is $600. Non-resident weekly is $225. And the end of summer picnic. And that was for the Parker rates. And these are tentatively going to be increased anywhere from $100 to $75 from last year's rates. The junior Parker rates are for 4 days per week for 7 weeks for 3 hours per day. One resident child is $150, two resident children $250, grandparent rate $200, resident weekly, she's not given anything, and non-resident weekly is $200. So those are the tentative rates for this year's Parker program.
Thank you, Mary.
Sure.
Council, when we went over the budget in the month of November and December, we talked about raising all the rates across the board. And when I talked to Carol, I asked her to please put together a proposal. And as everyone knows, we advertise in a March journal. So this is your opportunity to look at this and either give direction tonight or give direction before the month of March so we can put it in the journal.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Do we know offhand how many children we had last year in programs?
I don't know anything. I don't know.
Yeah, we had over 100 last year.
About
100 for the last 5 years.
Over 100,
yeah.
So we can kind of gouge how much this would bring in.
Yeah. Okay. I could break it down more for you.
I'm just looking for kind of a ballpark figure. Thank you.
And these rates are still lower than other communities comparable. Macedonia, Valley View, that offer the summer programs.
Oh, I know.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Would this end up bringing the village closer to no cost for the Parker program?
It won't. It'll help subsidize some of it, but it will not cover all the cost. We'd probably have to raise our costs astronomical to cover everything for the kids up there, you know, the youth kids, that the counselors and all the different activities that we do up there. Mm-hmm. But this would, as you can see, it would raise the rates by almost 25%, mm-hmm. and that is what council required when we talked about our budget in the month of November and December. And this is something for us to look for as we pass the final budget in March. We'll give you an opportunity to talk after everyone talks, and then I open it up to the audience. Okay, ma'am? Thank you. Any other comments, anyone?
Yes, Mayor, if I may, if our money situation improves to some extent, to the extent that we could, will we be able to revisit these rates at a later date, maybe, you think? Or?
Yes, sir. Council holds the purse strings. You could do it anytime you want.
Okay. All right. So.
This was just required by the majority of council at our budget meeting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I understand that, Mayor.
And Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
One more question. Do you know off the top of your head the percentage of non-residents to residents that we have?
I'd rather give you a better figure, but I understand that we have about 40% non-residents.
Okay.
But most have grandparents.
Most have grandparents that live here.
Yeah. Sure.
That's why that number's so high, because their grandparents are watching the kids
for
the summer.
Yeah, so that's skewed a little bit. Yeah, you have to take that into account.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Maybe for the next COW meeting, we can have the breakdown.
I give you more breakdown if you'd like.
Thank you.
That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Okay, any other comments? I'm going to go on. Ms. Allen, any comments?
Yes, I had a resident approach me suggesting, asking if there was any way on the village website that when one of our residents passes away, the name could be on there so other residents would know, since the frequency of the paper coming out anymore is not frequent, it's very infrequent. I don't know what the feasibility would be with that. I don't know really if we would want to advertise that this resident has recently passed away on the website also. But if it's just something that we could possibly talk about in the future. I thought maybe if we did do it, we could just have a link with it, and it could go straight to like the cleveland.com website for the obituary, or maybe even just a generic kind of obituary that, you know, would pull up for our residents.
We could probably do a link, but I don't want to advertise because of it would open up the opportunity for more thievery or whatever, you know.
Yes, that was my concern with it. You know, somebody knows there's a funeral coming up specifically.
Everybody will be away from home.
Right. I also wanted to ask Mr. Mason if you could check into and give a ruling on the voting of present per Robert's Rules of Orders. It's supposed to be a valid voting method, abstaining, present, yes or no. They said that in Robert's Rules of Orders, they state that present translates basically to a soft no, that you would agree with the basic idea, but you have a flaw, you see a flaw at some point. You know, in
there. I don't know off the top of my head, but I can certainly.
Okay, I would appreciate that. And I just wanted to let you know I've checked into and gotten in touch with a few other organizations in regards to economic development, asking to be placed on email lists, and trying to build some relationships to see with other organizations throughout Northeast Ohio. So that work with businesses like Team Neo and the Greater Cleveland partnership, things like that. So I'd like to, in the future, try to schedule a meeting with some of those people. Also.
We are currently attached to them. And all our properties are currently listed on their websites.
Well, but they don't know who I am, and they don't have my email address. But
they know me. Because we're currently working on the Manaway Manufacturing Building and the R House Building with Vince Adamus from Jobs Ohio.
Yeah. I also got in touch with Representative Ron Young. So he's going to be sending me the agendas of what's going on at the state level also with economic development and commerce. So.
Good.
That's all.
Okay. Gloria, any comments?
No, sir.
Mr. Collingraff, any comments?
All good.
Mr. Spitznewy?
I just read this afternoon your two, Katie sent me these, sent all of us the two memos, one concerning the master plan, a future master plan, and the road maintenance program grant, and I'm, you know, yes, please move forward on both of these as far as I'm concerned. And I don't, for the master plan, I don't know if Mr. Sheehy or his office would provide them that application information. I would be happy to work with him to do this if he doesn't have the time or whatever, you know, but
we have time, but I wanted to, it just came out last week.
Sure.
So I wanted to make sure everybody knew that there was an opportunity and see how everybody feels. Our last master plan was had some challenges, and I don't know if we want to go back through that or not, and it doesn't mean we have to mandatory do a master plan. It is just open for us to interpret it. I think the deadline is the 29th of March or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I put it out there, and I shared with you everything on that.
Yeah, and like I said, if Mr. Sheehy can't do it or whatever, if he needs some help or whatever, I'd be glad to throw my head in the ring to help on that project.
And the road program that you mentioned is that we got $34,000, but that's just to pay for the materials, so we're going to have some cost on our side.
Mm-hmm.
And we have until March 29th, I believe, for that one, because that's a county program.
Right.
So I asked Mr. Sheehy to break down the opportunities, what we're looking at as far as those roads, and give us a hard figure of numbers so we could figure it into our budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is there any comments from the audience about the comments from the council comments? I know there was a comment about the Parker program, if you'd like to come forward and ask your question.
That's all right.
Okay. Okay, the next item on the agenda is item E, discussion. Council members, Ms. Allen, you weren't on council, but we've been working on this since 2013 with our old service garage, and we try to work with Bedford about, they have a landfill beside our old service garage, and we've been working aggressively, and Mr. Mason and I have sat down and worked out some details, and we created a CIC, Community Improvement Corporation. Two council members sit on that board. It's a nonprofit organization that keeps its books and everything else, and there's four residents that participate in that organization. And council gave a 6-0 vote to support all that. And so here tonight, we're here to ask if we could have this moved in at our regular council meeting, to have the old service garage moved into donated to the CIC so we can finalize. We have a potential trucking company called Cajun Trucking LLC. It's a subsidiary of Carr Brothers, and they're looking at purchasing our old service garage and 7 acres, and we did that also through council where we divided out 7 acres on that property. That was all done publicly. I think it took us 3 months because it went through planning and everything else. So anyways, what I'm asking here is a resolution at a regular council meeting to put this into the CIC organization. Any questions or comments?
As I understand it, the CIC makes it easier for the village to sell property.
To negotiate deals, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And Mr. Mayor,
yes,
it also gives us not only negotiating power, but it gives us more power to control what goes in there. We may not want an ice cream store in there. You know, we may want something else, and so that allows that process to happen. And that's, many communities have that.
We never had that. That was another one of the tools in our toolbox. We were concerned about the Route 8 corridor, to where it would be impact the residents on Barkley Estates or something of that nature, and that's why that's the same structure we did with the overlay zoning, is so we had control, so we could manage to get development but not let a chemical factory move in. That's the whole baseline of this. Any other comments from the council members? I'd like to put this on our regular council meeting as a resolution to have it donated to the CIC. Any comments from the audience? I think this will create about 18 jobs or 20 jobs, and it's bringing another payroll to the village. Seeing none from the audience. Next is item F, resolution to reappoint Ms. Billy Workman and Duke Owens to the building Board of Zoning Appeals. Mr. Owens is in the audience, I believe. There's Duke and Billy Workman. They both sent us letters. You all got a copy of the letters and everything. Is there any questions or comments to that? That's my recommendation, is to pass a resolution for...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any questions from the audience on the Zoning Board of Appeals? Yes, ma'am, please come forward. State your name and address.
Mary Alice Moran, 7500 Linda Lane. And the comment I have is that I have seen on several occasions that it's a substantial delay before residents can get a resolution to their request for a variance. And I'm wondering if anyone's paying any attention to that, if that can be somehow organized better, stepped up, and more consumer-oriented. I have some other concerns. People call because I'm president of the Citizen League,
And there are people that have various complaints because it is the Zoning Board of Appeals. And so I followed a few of the cases, and I was really very surprised. I don't know what it's like in other communities, but the delays seemed to me totally excessive. And when I ask why, it seems somewhat frivolous, the reasons why. And I thought it was disrespectful, maybe, to our... The people feel that it's disrespectful to their interests. Sometimes they're very much involved in maybe selling their property or something that might be very important to them that isn't very important at all to the village. So I just was hoping that we could have some way of stepping up the consumer aspect of it. Thank you.
Thank you. You're the first complaint I've had in 7 years.
Well, it's a good one then.
Okay.
Same here.
We've taken the way the zoning board used to be operated in the 2000, like 2002 and 2004, we changed it in 2006 and took council off of it because it became a political issue. And the council is no longer involved in their own governing body. I know a lot of times when they have a continuance, they try to give an opportunity for that individual that's applying for a zoning an opportunity to either work with our building department or find a way to meet in the middle with the bottom line. I know Mary Brenner is a perfect example. She got a variance for her property, and she made a compromise to move it 2 foot in so everyone could be happy. She wanted, I think, 5 foot from the property line.
I think I wanted four or something, or you gentlemen, and we worked it out, so I gave them two because I didn't want to look at my barn out of my back window, so they were nice enough that we worked it out. But it didn't, in this case, this was recent. This was last year.
Last year.
It didn't take long at all. I mean, so I don't know.
I've just known of a lot of cases. I follow them through, and I really haven't had any complaints. I know this gentleman on Egbert Road that had drainage on his property, and he had to go close to the property line, so they were able to move the building so it would accommodate him without any real drainage issues. So I'm very happy with the way the board operates, but I'll look into this, and I'll see exactly what's the concerns, and if I have to sit in on the meetings, I'll sit in on the meetings. Okay? Thank you. Any other questions about the Zoning Board of Appeals for Billy Workman and Duke Owens? Seeing none, Council, I'd like to put this on for a resolution to approve their appointment at the COW or at the Council meeting for the 20th. Next item is item G. We received three different applications, letter resumes, and two were very qualified. One didn't even live in the village. And Mr. Rich, after 7 years of 17 years of being on Zoning Board of Appeals, and I know I got a letter from Mr. Duke Owens and one from Billy Workman, and I've also heard comments from other Zoning Board members, Mike Cummings, who left, all recommended Paul Rich because of his knowledge of the zoning and everything else. Not that the other candidate wasn't qualified, but I felt Paul Rich would serve our village as he has served us in the past, so I'm recommending Paul Rich. Any comments or questions on that?
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I will support Mr. Rich primarily because of his almost 25 years of public service to our village in various capacities. I was very heartened to see other applicants, so one in particular of a new resident, and that's Mr. Whedon from Rochelle Drive. And at some point, I would like to vote for him someday to be on the Zoning Board of Appeals, if that opportunity ever arises. But Mr. Rich is just an outstanding candidate, as is Mr. Whedon, because I read his resume. You were kind enough to pass all this information out to us, Mayor. And I got to tell you, Mr. Whedon is an excellent candidate as well. Thank you, Mayor.
Any other questions or comments?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I was going to echo Mr. Linville's sentiment. Not only Mr. Rich's decade service to Walton Hills, but his, more importantly, his quality of service to Walton Hills. And everybody on the Board of Zoning Appeals, even when Paul was there up for renewal on the Board of Zoning Appeals, wholeheartedly recommended us to approve him. And as far as the other candidate, absolutely. I would also state, don't give up. I would very much like to see that other candidate, because boards open up here and there, you know, the Planning Commission or whatever it may be, Tax Incentive Review Commission or whatever. And Mr. Wheaton's an excellent candidate, as you said, and we're lucky to have him in the village. Thank you.
Any other comments? Any other questions?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I did not receive the information on Mr. Wheaton. I just had the information on Mr. Ridge, whose resume is quite extensive and very impressive, and I received a resume from Billy Workman also, who also was extensive at resume and very impressive. But I did not receive any information about Mr. Wheaton.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
And Jennifer, I know one of them, the resume was in a email.
Right.
So we'll have to look, because you should be on
the other candidates.
Yeah, you should be on the email.
It's on your email, because Katie sent it out to emails.
Because okay. I think I didn't get, I was looking for Ray's in my packet here either. I don't think you put it in. Yeah, it's not in the printout. It's on an email.
It's on an email.
Yeah.
Hard copy, yes.
Yeah.
Any other questions from the audience?
See no none. Good candidates.
Council members, we'll put this on next on the 20th for our regular council meeting, okay? Is everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Next is item H. This is a resolution. I'm asking you to support a resolution. Let me give you a little background. I know you read what the police chief wrote.
Right.
I'll try and be as generic and as brief as I can. We had a resident on Sagamore Road that had a party. And at the party, there was some accusations of misconduct. And this was 2.5 years ago. After all the investigations and the county programs and the crisis centers that the county offers, in interviews, we found no wrongdoing at that time. This individual has gone through some struggles in their life, and they made a call of 911 2.5 years later to our police department of attempted taking their life. So our sergeant, Melissa Walsh, was on duty, and two dispatchers. And they pulled the file and was able to capture the cell phone and able to do homework and keep her on the phone. And they found her in Fairfax, Virginia. And they contacted the Fairfax, Virginia, and was able to get her, this individual, this lady, and get her to help. And they saved her life. So what I would like to do is pass a resolution when the students are here to recognize our three employees. Melissa Walsh, Jenna Lee Mason, and Vicki Grimminger, right? Yeah, those are the dispatchers. And the police is supporting it, the chief, and you got a memo and everything. So is there any questions or any comments? Anybody? I don't know all the details of what the resolution is going to say because they're working on it and they're going to give them to us. We could maybe even have the kids read it, the children read it when they're here, mm-hmm. if you'd like to do that. Because I'd just like to recognize those three employees because that was really good police work. I think it took them about 1 hour and 45 minutes or almost 2 hours, but they were very successful.
Saved somebody's life?
Yeah.
I think it's a very good thing to recognize the police dispatchers because what's been going on in the last year has been terrible for police and that bad reports they've been getting, and that they do go beyond their job, I believe, and this is proof that they did.
I agree. That shows exemplary service that they did. I mean, to go so far above and beyond to locate the individual in another state altogether is unbelievable, and they should be accoladed for that.
Everybody's okay with that one?
Yeah.
It'll be three separate resolutions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Any comments from the audience about that details? Seeing none. Thank you. Next item is item I, Planning and Zoning Board of Appeals. Council members, When we passed the overlay zoning, we had discussed at that time, I think that was in October or November, that we would like to revisit the cost, so we would not be stuck with the cost for a planner to come to those meetings or an engineer to come to those meetings, because it is not going to be one meeting. It's going to be several meetings when we start doing overlay zoning and we start listening to programs and we start listening to development agreements. So that's why this is on the agenda. I think we have time, but I would really like to see us address it. Mr. Mason and I was going to make a suggestion, so I wanted you to be able to read it and see it, and we were going to make a suggestion to cover these costs. Mm-hmm. What that number is, I don't know. I think we're actually lower across the board for other communities as far as our Zoning Board of Appeals, as far as our other programs that we have, or our Planning Commission. So we may raise all the fees, and we'll show you an example of other communities.
Okay.
Does everybody understand what we're trying to do here? I don't want to put this on the agenda for council meeting. I want to discuss it. I want everybody's input and see what we can do to make it more cost-effective for us. Because I think a planner, like we had George Smerigan here, it was right. $150 an hour. I sure don't want to have to absorb that for long meetings.
Right.
Agreed.
Everybody okay with that?
So next COW meeting, Mayor?
Well, it'll be on our next COW. I don't know if I'll have all the draft, but I would figure we could start talking about it, and then maybe we could pass it in March if everybody's comfortable with it, or we can pass it in April.
Okay.
The First Energy property is going up for sale, so I wanted everyone to know that when you see the for sale signs, this will spur the conversation of overlay zoning.
Mm-hmm. I just assume that it would be the tangent communities we're going to be getting comps on?
Probably villages. Okay. Probably not so much cities. We'd like to look at villages that are close to ours. The only thing is Valley View is the only statutory. The rest are all charter around us. Mm-hmm. But we would look at those.
Ms. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Would you go? When I read this, what you had passed out, I just made a couple thought notes here. So is the goal to insert writing in this legislation to include the fees in case they show up, or is the goal to increase all the fees incrementally so it covers it when they have to show up? I just wrote some pros and cons about doing it either way, and I don't know which way you're thinking about going here. We could keep the fees the same or do an analysis, like you said, of the other communities here where we are in our fee structure here. If we only charge when those two people show up, I guess that's more geared towards corporations or companies, though, rather than residents.
Right. I don't see residents doing it. Manufacturing or doing commercial development.
Yeah,
they would have legal representation and they would have more skin in the game.
I'm thinking if a resident was doing it alone on his or own property that needed a planning and something like that, but I think I'm wrong on that notion. But if that were the case, that may be too much money for that person to bear alone, basically end up the net result restricting access to, his or her right in a hearing, for that. So I don't know where you want to go with, are we talking about incrementally increasing all of our fees to kind of buttress up the pot, per se, or are we going to say, well, we'll keep the fees where they are or adjust them slightly, and if we need them, this is what the charge is going to be. So I don't know.
I would let Bill direct me on that, but we would definitely see if our fees are comparable to other communities. And I know that Beechwood, and which we copied our overlay zoning from, and Oakwood, and I would see what they charge and maybe the language they had in their ordinances, and see if those apply to what we're trying to do here. You got to remember, somebody with 10 acres can't build on it. They have to have 15. That was the way we laid that overlay zoning. Now, if you have a neighbor with 10 acres and a neighbor with 5 acres, they still have to come to Planning Commission. They still have to join the property. There's a whole process of things.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do those kind of things, they're going to have to make sure that there's a comfort level for everyone, not just, you know, that resident. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we're here to serve the majority of the village, not that resident. That's right. The whole key I want everyone to understand. Because we get caught up in always trying to make sure that the guy with 12 acres is allowed to do it, but the guy with 10 acres can't.
Yeah.
You know? So we have certain language where we're trying to protect, so we don't make impacts to our residents, but yet we get economic development. That's the goal.
Thank you.
Did I explain that good enough?
Yeah. We can work some language out.
Yeah. Okay. I just didn't know what direction we were going here.
Right, and that's a good way to look at it, because, we're just increasing that, or are we looking for things that are just going to help cover some of the costs, like you said, in the planning of the overlay zoning?
Right.
When I was reading through all of this, it seemed like it was more aimed at the section 208.09, which was under the general permit fees for commercial multifamily dwellings. That's what I took it as, not necessarily under the residential section. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the direction we're headed. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, all commercial.
Any other comments? Any comments from the audience about planning and zoning board of appeals or zoning board fees and stuff? Seeing none.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I don't have a comment as far as the fees go. Just Mr. Smirgan, he's excellent. I mean, and he's very, very thorough, and he can bring it down to our level of understanding on all of this, and he's been great for us for what's going on and what will be going on in the future. So.
Yeah, he's helped us out tremendously.
Yes.
And I think we're going to get what we think we're going to get. Okay, next item is item J, update of traffic cameras. We currently have a positive path on this, and we have the traffic car here by the end of next week that'll be throughout the village. You'll see it. It's like a Crown Victorian, but it's got all kinds of...
Actually a Jeep Liberty.
Oh, it's a Jeep. Okay. It's a small vehicle. I thought it was a Crown Victoria.
No.
But it's a small vehicle. You'll see it on the side of the road. It's doing a traffic count, and it's doing the patterns of traffic, and then we'll know more where we're going to mount all the cameras and stuff.
Is it our vehicle?
No. It's just from the Gatsco.
Would it say that on the car?
Huh?
Would it say
know.
Gatsco on the
I don't
Gino?
Think so. I think it'll be a generic car sitting there just to get the counts and stuff. No tickets are being written or nothing. This is just to see where the traffic
No, I just
is.
Wonder if, you know, if it's sitting there and people see this Jeep there for, you know, extended amount of time, they may wonder what it was. You know, if I see Spectrum or something, I don't pay attention. I know, you know, but something. Okay.
Any questions or comments about item J?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I had a humorous comment this Sunday. My pastor said to me, if I didn't live on that in that parsonage and I owned it, if it didn't belong to the church, he'd put a sign down there, slow down. But he also said something else. So, and I said, well, we're working on that, you know. So I thought it was kind of cute. So here it's somebody in another part of the community that is seeing the same thing. They speed down there, so...
Egbert Road's wide open,
Dunham
Road,
yeah.
Too, yeah. Any other comments? Any comments from the audience? Yes, please give your name and address.
Josephine Bortle, 17850 Egbert Road. When I read in the journal that they will ticket you only if you go 50 miles an hour,
15 miles over the
50.
Limit. Yeah.
15 over.
So that would be 50, yes, ma'am. That would
be 50. All right, now some of our roads are 25 miles. So they'll just ticket you if you go over 15. My concern is that with that being in the journal, it sounds, I mean, I'm just afraid people are going to go 48, 49 miles an hour because they're not going to, camera's not going to hit them. Now, what about when the police officer, at what speed, at what over the speed limit does the police officer stop you?
15 miles over, that's where we got the number.
Oh, okay. All right.
We're not putting any cameras on our secondary roads. Allen Drive, Carmody Drive, those are 25. Shaner's 25. Our main avenues is what we're
doing. No, but my main concern is that 15 miles over the speed limit is too much speed over the speed limit. I mean, I think it should be like 10 miles over the speed limit.
We may modify
whatever you decided.
We talked about this.
I know you talked about it, and I mentioned it before. but I still think 50 miles an hour is still too fast. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Just to kind of clear, now that's for the 50 miles over is for using the cameras, okay, where it's a civil violation and there's no police officer, unless the police officer is holding the camera, which is also being supplied with the automated ones, then it's 50. But if we use our own radar, we can do, the police can set it where they want, okay, but then it becomes a regular speeding violation. There's a separation between the two. Our police can still give out a regular speeding violation. You know,
and they will be doing that even with the cameras.
We're going to, our police department's going to be conducted the same way. This isn't just another tool to help the police department.
And they only stop you if you're going 15 miles over the speed limit.
If it's used with the cameras. And that's even with the held camera that's being supplied with Gasco.
Any other questions from the audience? Yes, sir. Please give your name and address.
Tom Nowicki, 17612 Egbert. How many stationary?
We're going to let them make the suggestion. We suggested four. It looks like four would probably be Dunham, Egbert, Alexander, and Sagamore. Northfield Road, we're going to let our police take care of Northfield Road more because of the commercial businesses. In our relationship with our businesses and stuff, we may eventually go on Northfield Road, but we're going to try our secondary roads. That's where predominantly our speed is, on Alexander Road coming out of Valley View. There's a lot of speeding tickets coming off of Egbert Road, and there's a lot coming down Dunham, especially coming down Maple Heights.
I'm happy you mentioned Egbert Road. When I plow, I can't even get out in the street because the people are flying down it. I mean, either way, either from Josephine's Way down the curb or down near Mary's, it's, you know, they fly it. And I kind of agree with the 15 might be, maybe certain streets 15 and over, but yeah, maybe a little less for, say, Egbert's not really Maine, but it is. Is there a chance to get lesser in different areas?
We can revisit it as council. Yeah. They can modify the ordinance. We just wanted to try it at 15
right now.
Because we didn't want to be accused of a tax grab or a cash cow or whatever other language people like to use. This is a safety tool in compliance, and it's safety for our police, so we don't have to have, we're down our police officers.
Yeah. And like you say, you could have the cars with the radar also. In fact, when I was coming here, there was one in the old Pikes, and I was happy to see that. You know, it's for us, it's mainly rush hour morning,
right?
And
tell me about
you know, Alexander, you're getting hit even more.
Trying to get out. Egbert in the morning.
But I could see Alexander is definitely you really got to keep your eye on that. But Egbert morning and night, just like it's a raceway, you know. But all right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
If I turn left out of my driveway during rush hour, there have been times where I've sat for almost 10 minutes.
Waiting
for a break.
Yeah, she's right on Alexander.
Yep. Any other comments? Okay, council member, just wanted to give you an update. Next item is item K. We have the students coming here. They will be here at, we'll eat dinner at 5 o'clock, like we've done in the past. It'll be in the community building. And we have our directors all be here at the regular council meeting. They'll be here on the 20th. And the past practice is we let the students read reports from our directors, and then we let them come up and sit at the dais and read. We introduce the resolution, and then we let the students read the resolution. And since we have this resolution for these employees, if everyone feels comfortable, we can let the students do that, or we can do it. That's your call. We have time to decide that, but that's the direction we're looking at. Any questions or comments?
That's next week.
No, that's the 20th at a regular council meeting. Okay, everybody okay with that? Item L. Brian, would you please make a motion for senior lawn care? Our lawn care has expired, and we have to advertise in the month of March for senior lawn care.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to go out for senior lawn care bids for the program for 2018.
Second.
Second by Mr. Collingraf. Any questions or comments, council members? Seeing none, Vote on the motion, please.
Councilperson Linville?
Yes.
Brenner Miller?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes.
Terlouwski?
Yes.
Kolograph?
Yes.
Spitznagle?
Yes. Thank you, council members. That'll be in our, I think we've also put it in that paper for Northfield, too, that leader.
Ben Nortonia leader.
Because not everybody gets our paper and stuff. Okay. Council for other business. I passed out a memo about economic development, and I wanted everybody to know the details. We did solidify this week with the old Todd Industry building on Northfield Road with the company. It's called MASTEC, Mastec North America. They're a fiber optic company. You can see them on the website. They will be in there by March 1st. All the prints and building permits and everything have been satisfied. So everybody remembers in 2015, in the winter months, we had to shut down this building because it was being operated illegally. And the sprinklers were shut off, the gas inside the building was shut off, and they were actually running generators in this building. We were getting no payroll tax whatsoever. It was a bootleg business, a little machine shop. And we tried to work with them through the holiday season, and finally we closed it in January of 16. So as everybody remembers, last year with Mr. Jason Laver, we made a incentive program with that building that if he would create jobs, we would share some of the payroll tax with him. And that has expired, so everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. And this is a straight up, we get the payroll. The payroll for this new company is projected at $2 million, so that means we'll get $50,000 a year. I can't go into great details of all the payroll, but I'm just letting you know that's what they projected on their forms.
What's the name of the company again?
MASTEC, Mastec, North America.
I don't believe I got the memo.
Yeah, it's not on that memo, though. It's not on that memo. Because I didn't have a name of the company until yesterday, or Monday. Yeah, it was just.
Maybe I got this. I got this in the email.
Yeah,
I got the email.
Yeah, I sent it through yeah, email, and then I give you a hard copy for the mailbox, so you guys have it. As you many you know, the Crick Road, I've already talked about that, and everyone's agreed to do that. Also, we have an opportunity for the vacant lot that we bought from First Energy beside NPK. I'm going to ask you for a resolution for that as well, to put that into CIC so we can negotiate a deal with that. That is that movie industry building that was talking about. We don't have a complete agreement, so I won't go into great details about it, but I think we've shared a lot of it with everyone. We have a Bishop Brothers. Everything was approved for the planning. That's the old Dean Penix property right beside the Battery Western Reserve. That building's going up, and they're bringing employees. It's a trucking outfit. Everything will be behind the building. And we have a projection of possible $27,500 per year in payroll tax on that. We have some interested parties through Jobs Ohio and Cleveland Greater Partners. I travel to Washington with Cleveland Greater Partners every year. That's the group that usually pays for everything that we manage there. So we have a good relationship with them. They're working on Manaway Building and also the R House Building. So we'll see where those things go as far as economic development. And it's what we projected, Council. It's what you projected. When we asked everyone to pass a levy and we would be back on top in a couple of years, well, we're getting back on top. And we did it by laying off police officers and downsizing. But we're doing it. So I want everyone to know we did project this, mm-hmm. and we have more projections. Okay. Yes, sir.
I apologize.
That's
for
all right.
Speaking of buildings, and I don't know if you can go into it or not, but there was another building that was for sale that had some activity going on.
That one's still under potential contract, yeah.
Okay, so
I didn't want to go into a great deal because I haven't heard any more. We gave them a occupancy permit waiting on them to fill it out.
Good, okay.
And that would just be a simple building department thing, but you'll be made aware of everything.
Great.
And everybody knows that the smaller R House building is now occupied by that trucking outfit, the subsidiary of R House Furniture, the smaller one. It's called Gardner, I believe it's
Burger.
Called? Burger. Burger. It's called Burger. Burger. They moved out of Macedonia here, and they brought 15 employees. So those are some of the things taking place. Council, I know there's been a lot of questions and a lot of comments. I had senior lunch last week, a lot of comments and questions from our senior citizens asking about the plain dealer articles, asking about the lawsuit and all the things that are taking place in the village. What we did here was Mr. Mason approved this, and he'll answer any of your questions. This is everything pertaining to the lawsuit, everything pertaining to the newspaper articles, everything pertaining to public records that people are making. So everyone's aware of exactly the facts, and I think Mr. Mason can answer any questions. I think most of you have this information, but I just wanted to make sure that everybody had it. Mr. Mason, if you'd like to go ahead and make any comments, sir.
Last week, as those of you who read the article, I got called from a writer from the Plain Dealer by the name of Peter Krause talking about the mayor's court. And so he was asking me some questions. I thought it was just best to kind of lay out for everybody so they had a better understanding as to what transpired, what the laws, and what the situation is resolved at. So back on February 11th of 2002, this council, but probably different members, created a mayor's court in which you had a magistrate participate in and handle those hearings. Then going back into 2011, and on March 1st of 2011, a new ordinance was passed for the existing mayor's court that created the mayor sitting in as the magistrate but without compensation. So then about 5 months later, on July 25th of 2011, a new ordinance was passed that created the mayor sitting in as magistrate but being compensated for sitting in as magistrate. So those two ordinances were pending, one saying that the mayor shouldn't be compensated, one saying that the mayor shouldn't be compensated. So those were clearly in conflict with each other. So one said he should be paid, the other one said he shouldn't. So what I did is then research and kind of follow the law. In our codified ordinances here in the village, it says by rules of construction. So when you're looking at ordinances and trying to figure out what they say and what they mean, there is a section in our ordinances that say that when there's statutes that are irreconcilable, meaning they're completely different, like this situation, that the ordinance that was passed last, so the ordinance that was passed last in this instance would have been ordinance number 2011-18, which was passed in July 25th of 2011. That one should have the day. That one should be the rule.
Supersede.
Yeah, that supersedes it. And the ordinance that says this, from our ordinance, saying how you handle these conflicts, is the same thing that the Ohio Revised Code talks of. Ohio Revised Code section 1.52 talks about structuring when there's ordinance and statutes that aren't in conflict, how you handle it. So basically it says the same thing. When they're irreconcilable, you take the one that was passed most recent, basically, and that's the law. So in this instance, again, it's the most recent one that was passed, which is the mayor should be compensated for sitting in on the magistrate's hearing. So I explained that to the reporter. I thought he kind of portrayed that in his article, but I just thought that everybody should hear that directly because as I see it, the ordinance and what has transpired, everything is as should be. There's nothing nefarious. There's nothing inappropriate going on. Now, lastly, to follow that up, there's a pending law legal action that you've been aware of for quite some time. It went into the Common Pleas Court. The judge of the Common Pleas Court made a decision to throw the case out on a statute of limitations argument. That was appealed to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals has then overturned it and sent it back to trial court. So that's where that stands now. But I spoke with the village's insurance company who's been handling and paying the bills for the litigation, and they have said that our limits were $25,000. So they're only going to pay $25,000 of the legal fees that are generated from that lawsuit. So moving forward, the village will be paying
$150,000.
Yeah.
Mesnick and Raskus.
Raskins and Masnick, whatever their firm is. They will be paying, the village will be paying $150 an hour moving forward. The insurance capped at $25,000, so everybody knows that.
For legal fees.
Can I ask a question? And the information that I read, that attorney, whatever their name was, said we can do one of a couple different things, could take this to the... The issue is whether or not this was a... Whether a politician, somebody working for the municipality, is under a contract or not.
Right, that's
that's why they sent it back in very layman's terms, that, that they said, yeah, this was a contract, and our attorneys disagree with that, and they said we can take it to the Supreme Court to rule on that. I'm wondering if there's been any further discussions on taking, because it isn't even the issue of the whole of the entire or of the point of the lawsuit is not even being discussed, really. It's whether it should be heard or not to begin with. So that's what's taking up all, you know, all the time and money so far, and we haven't even gotten to the lawsuit itself. So have there been any further discussions that we can discuss out in the public as to what which prong, which area we're going to go towards?
Well, I spoke with Jim Clymer, who's the attorney handling it. They've already filed, before I had a chance to speak with them, they already filed a motion asking the Court of Appeals to reconsider it. So they are going to ask the 12 members of the Court of Appeals to all sit and listen to it and make a decision whether that was a proper ruling.
It's in your package.
That's done and over. I assume, who knows for sure, I assume that's not going to carry the day, and it's going to go back to the trial court for a determination. But I think what I just laid out today is a very strong argument as to why it may not, that it's a good defense for the village, because at least as I see it, I'm just one lawyer, as I see it, that the village is probably going to come out on top on that argument. Who knows what a court will do?
Okay.
And you know, I just want everybody to know, this is not a lawsuit against Kevin Hurst. This is everyone on council is named on that lawsuit. They just chose to mention my name in the thing because I'm the mayor. And all we've ever done is follow what you have passed as legislators and voted on, and that's the way it went. I put a memo out just so you have an example. I took everything from 2008 and 2009, 2010 to 2017. It shows all the reductions. It shows what we've paid for our court. It shows everything that we've done. In the 2008, 9, and 10, there was 22 and 21 sessions. We had 48 sessions, and we still look at the cost. Do you see the savings? Do you see the savings in the clerk? Do you see the savings in the law director? Do you see the savings in the prosecutor's position? So we've done twice as much work and still saved money. So I just wanted you to have that information. Basically, this memo says, we discussed the pending litigation executive session. However, with the recent article in Plain Dealer, I would like to address this issue in an open forum. I discussed this with Mr. Mason, and he was in agreement, and he feels certain that we took the appropriate steps. I am notifying each one of you that we have reached our $25,000 insurance threshold of coverage in this case, and now the Village of Walton Hills will be paying $150 an hour to Mesnick, Raskin, and Ryder LPA. Because of the insurance coverage, we have not felt the impact of this lawsuit, but now the village will have to begin paying out of our village coffers. I am also distributing the information that was provided on November 30th until present. So everyone was notified on November 30th where they had filed with the courts and everything. If you remember, I've been giving you all along all these files and these proceedings. So I don't know if you want to open up for discussion, but Mr. Mason felt comfortable enough to talk about it publicly, so that's why I'm bringing it out for you publicly.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, yes, just for planning purposes, budgetary purposes, we've blown through $25,000, and we haven't even gotten to the actual lawsuit yet, so we can expect to pay at least another $25,000. It would be my estimation, because we haven't, we still have a lot of money to pay towards figuring out whether or not this can be heard or not, or this was some sort of a contract and it met the statute of limitations or didn't or whatever. So that would be a correct assessment, that this is going to end up costing us at least that amount on top, correct?
I would think so. Yeah.
For budgetary, okay.
Thank you. When we pass our budget in March, we have to look at that number.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if there's a way to do this, Mayor, but if should we prevail, I would like us to explore a way that we could recoup our money for the time and trouble that we were put through.
I don't think you can.
Frankly, I don't know if it's possible or not. But.
Yeah, that's not likely to happen. In England, they have different rules where the prevailing party has to pay the other's attorney's fees, but we don't have that here. Yeah. Only in rare occasions would that apply.
Mr. Mayor?
Gloria.
A couple of things. In the article, it's stated that the magistrate had to be an attorney. That is incorrect, is that?
That's correct.
$150 an hour. We got George Smerigin here, who's doing overlay zoning. Very important to this village, and we're going to be paying to fight a lawsuit that's ridiculous. Your money, taxpayers' dollars for this. So, you know, it's. I think it's quite interesting. Isn't there a point in time that you were not paid, but you still were? You still performed the duties as magistrate. Is that not true?
Yeah, all of 14, 15, and 16, 15. 14 and 15, I did 48 sessions, only got paid for 24 sessions.
So can he recoup when this is
no,
finished?
Because it had to be the next term, which was 16. I know the law. We've all passed the law. It's only because I'm getting paid as of right now, but you can see where we've saved money by and it's not even the equation of our police officers. We used to have two full-time police officers in our court session. We eliminated that. And now we have auxiliary in here at $12 an hour. So we could really get into the micromanaging and show you where the money's saving. But we've done what we've said we've done. But this is with all of your help. Remember, we took that clerk of courts position to part-time. Then we took it to part-time or full-time. We've changed it with the, we negotiated the prosecutor to be less money. All these things. You guys allowed auxiliary. None of this is just my idea or my direction. This is all of us. And this all started in 2011.
And this is 2018.
Mm-hmm. Continue to reduce, but continue to be challenged.
Mr. Mayor, yes, I've had several people talk to me about that article concerning the mayor's court, and not the lawsuit, but of the...
Why are we doing mayor's court?
Or why are we doing mayor's court money grab and all that? And, you know, if it, this were years ago, I would probably... And I had a just a generalized... view of mayor's court, I would probably assume the same thing. But as I see the operations in that, a lot of people don't understand, and I explain this to them, and they're like, oh, okay, well, we only do traffic tickets.
Right.
So, and everything else gets sent to Garfield anyways. So they're doing most of our stuff now to begin with. To me, if they were to do our traffic tickets too, first of all, they do many municipalities other than just Garfield, so that's taxing on them. That's putting a burden on them, as far as I'm concerned. And the judge isn't going to hear it. They're going to put a magistrate on it. That's they're going to take their cut out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's almost like a reverse money grab, saying, oh, we'll do your stuff over here, and we're going to take our cut. The infraction occurred here in Walton Hills, and either you were speeding or you weren't. Whatever you know, whatever your opinion of Mayor's Court is, the mayor isn't sitting here making deals or grabbing, trying, either you were speeding or you weren't. And most people that show up are trying to fight it on some reason that they think is, well, I wasn't doing this or whatever, and it's worked out or whatever. But Most people don't understand that. Most of our stuff that comes through Mayor's Court gets put to Garfield anyways. And right? Is that, am I speaking out of turn?
They have the opportunity to say no contest, guilty or not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
If they say not guilty, it automatically goes to Garfield and it goes before their judge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We listened to first time DUI, driving under the influence, 10 years back. After that, it goes to Garfield. When people come here before our court, 9 times out of 10, they've had 2 other tickets in the year. The law is, after 2 tickets within a 12-month period, you have to go before a magistrate. That's another law. I didn't write that law.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're here, because they're repeat offenders. Or like we had a gentleman that was in a semi-truck at Overseas Packing, pulled across the street and hit the telephone pole and knocked down the electric. Mm-hmm. So we worked with him to pay for everything. He paid for it, insurance, and we made sure that he kept a CDL license, and that's where we sat and we read through the process. That is an infraction in the law, and we work with them.
Mm-hmm.
We try not to make life difficult for anyone. A lot of times we have people coming through here that are driving under suspension. That's probably my number one offense, and that means that they've already lost their license and they're driving around illegally. And what we do with that process is we say, we'll give you a continuance, and you go and get your license straightened out, pay all your fees through the BMV, then when you come back, then we'll settle this case. Because if I rule on this case right now, you lose it for another 6 months. So we try to keep people productive in society. We try to make sure that everyone is still working. We try to make sure that it works out for everyone. We have cases come in here where people can't pay. We have cases where people have problems. Sometimes we send them to Garfield because there's public offenders over there, defenders and stuff. But there's all kinds of things that people just don't have a grasp of.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Mr. Mayor, I guess I really have a question for Mr. Mason. So let's take the scenario, we go through this and hopefully we win and it's done. And then let's say we get slapped with another, I'll call, nuisance lawsuit by the same person or whatever. Is there any way, these are like habitual, you know, nuisance that were being attacked, to anyone? I know anyone can sue anyone, but is there some way to?
Well, that is. I mean, you know, we have in this country, we have the right to do that. I mean, everybody has the right to hear their grievances one way or another. But at some point, and I don't know what to say, whether it's 5 lawsuits, 10 lawsuits, whatever, there's what's called a vexatious litigator, meaning somebody who's filing lawsuits that the courts could order and prevent that person from being allowed to file a lawsuit anymore. And they've done that. But it's a pretty heavy abuse. It's not a couple lawsuits. It's like, you know, some people just get crazy where they're filing 10, 12, and they're just constantly filing lawsuits. But I'd like to chime in on the Garfield Court. As you know, I practice law, so I'm in the Garfield Court on occasion, but if anybody's ever there for a morning session at Garfield Court, it's crazy. There are people all over the place. There's nowhere to park, and the court system there is overwhelmed. And having these mayor's courts handling in these different communities part of Garfield, it helps the Garfield Court. They are overburdened right now with these cases not going there. So let's just say the ones here in Walton Hills, the 1,600 cases that the mayor Hurst here is here, if they were to go into Garfield Court, they couldn't handle. Just Walton Hills, and that doesn't include all the other mayor's courts in the Garfield Court, Municipal Court. So it's help. Not only does the village hold some of the cash here that for the violations that happened in the village, it's a huge help to the system. And I, from one who's been in the court on those rare occasions in Garfield Heights on a morning, they can't handle any more cases. And I just so you're doing a service to the municipal court by peeling these things off, because they're nice and easy, and it's convenient for the people who live in the area to come into Walton Hills rather than travel into Garfield, if in fact, you know, they're local. So just my view.
You know, I know that the opposite argument is the money grab issue, and people think that it's an air of impropriety where whoever, even if it were a magistrate sitting here as opposed to a mayor, the magistrate works for the mayor, and so he or she would be bound to pull in as much money. I'm wondering if, and it's probably too much work, but as mayor said, you know, working with different people and things like that, you know, if there were any statistics as to if there's record keeping into statistics of, okay, these were, you know, this person was doing 55 miles an hour down Alexander Road, you know, ticket, boom. You know, this person we worked with and stuff like that. To show people that, you know, when they read these things, that, well, it really isn't a money grab, you know, and then the things that people needed to be helped with, we actually did help with, you know, rather than just saying you were going 2 miles over the speed limit like some other communities do that we know of, and just grabbing their money.
We, Brian, we get audited, unfortunately, and usually it's every 2 years, mm-hmm. but I've been audited probably 6 times in 7 years mm-hmm. because of false accusations, mm-hmm. and we've never had a bad audit in our courts. Mm-hmm. And they do pull random cases, and you've witnessed the audits when they come mm-hmm. to you. So I guess that's the statistics there. We're not showing where we're charging someone, you know, $1,200 for a DUI, and then we're charging someone else $500. We're pretty consistent across the board, mm-hmm. and we'd like to make sure that we get people in compliance. We try to help them to go to the hotel and stay over the weekend for their DUI, mm-hmm. you know, to get their class in and stuff. We try to get them to go to programs. Those are things we try to do. We're not geared for a lot of social things, but we try, and we do reach out to Mothers Against Drunk Driving. We do reach out, and we do go to those programs. Mm-hmm. There is plaques outside the wall there where our police officers have received from Mothers of Drunk Driving and stuff, and mm-hmm. also through those UH grants that took away our overtime for our police. If you remember those saturations and those mm-hmm. Where they have the sobriety test and everything else. So we reach out as far as we can within the means that we have, you know. Mm-hmm. So there is stats and there is things that's on file, not so much for my you know, for me to grab, but it is done through the audit to the state. Audit. Council, if there's no other questions, I'd like to ask for a motion of adjournment.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I was just looking at the numbers on the one memo, and is it possible that we could get this one again? Oops, excuse me. Specifically, because this doesn't show how many cases actually went to Garfield Court. And then if we could also get the gap in the years on this memo, too. There's 6 years missing.
Do you want me to add all the years? I was just showing the years when we came on and where we're at today.
Yeah, I'd like the information.
You want all the years? We can do that.
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
That's not a problem.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mayor, first I would comment, you know, people that serve as a magistrate, I mean, they should get paid. After all, we're not communists, as they noted in The Godfather, okay? People get work, they get paid, for crying out loud. So, I mean, I don't know what this, all this hullabaloo is over, the fact that the mayor gets paid. It allows him a little extra money. I voted for it because it allowed me to give the mayor a raise, all right? This guy goes out and does everything. He plows snow, he cuts grass. He does everything in the village. He sees something falling down someplace. So, it just really irks me and gets me really upset. And other than that, Mayor, I say kudos to the our service department, because I had occasion to go out early this morning and the roads were just immaculate. Thank mm-hmm. you.
They were.
You're always good.
So.
You
done?
Say
something?
Oh. No,
I'm done.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Oh, Mr. Mayor,
are you ready? All right.
I have something.
Come on, Brian.
No, I just saw this. Would you mind? Could you make an announcement about this? Maybe residents would like to.
That's a good idea.
Participate in that.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. Mm-hmm. Sunday, February 25th, 2018, at 4:00 to 8:00 at our community building. We're having a fundraiser for Bobby Moore. I don't know if most of you know Bobby Moore or not, but he did work for the Village of Walton Hills as a dispatcher, and he was a police officer in Bedford Heights until he got shot in the line of duty. Bobby has been diagnosed with inoperable cancer, and they approached us and asked us if we could donate the building, so I asked all the council members, and everybody supports it 100%. And the donation is $25 per person, so if anybody would feel inclined to go, the Moore family, his father did retire from Walton Hills, Glenn Moore, and they did live right across the street by the Village Hall there. They've been lifelong residents. It's just unfortunate that Mr. Bobby Moore's run into some real health issues.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for supporting it, Council.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Gloria.
I just have one thing. I go to the book club, Carol's Book Club, and it's at night, and it's down at the community center down here. I don't think there's anybody else that goes to it here, but Mary. Okay. Last time I went, I almost took out the fence. You can't see the driveway when it snows. We need some kind of reflector there by the driveway to show that you're going. When it snows, there's no way you see the drive. You want to turn by the fence, and the fence is farther away from the driveway. So
I'll have some stuff installed.
Even
tomorrow.
Some red, yeah. You know, those red things on the fence or something. But you can't see the drive. Mary, you agree?
No, I was going to make a motion to adjourn.
before you do, I have one more comment.
That's fine. You said make a motion.
The mayor left one thing out about Mr. Moore's situation. He was a police officer in Bedford Heights. They went to Bedford Heights and asked if they could use the room, and they said, the mayor said, no, he was not a police officer when I was in office. Can you believe that?
Isn't that something?
So...
That's cold.
We said his father, you know, lives here. He lived here as a young man. We unanimously voted to that he could use the room. So
oh, yeah.
You know, we are Christians. You know, we believe in doing the right thing and helping people.
Yeah.
So just a segue into, you know. Okay, Mary, take it.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn. COW 26.
Councilperson Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Terlasky.
Yes.
Holograph.
Yes.
Fitznagel.
Yes.
Linville.
Yes.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned at 7:12. We have next week's meeting. All the same items on the agenda.
On the next agenda.